Praise the Lord. Do you believe what you're singing about tonight? God has given us all these things, and He's not stingy with them. He has given us abundantly. Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Tell them you're glad to see him in church tonight. What a privilege it is to be back in the house of the Lord. Play some more of that song. Say hallelujah. Well, what a privilege it is to be back in the house of God. Seems like we've been gone a long time from each other, don't it? Just missed one service, but it seems like it's been a lot longer than that. It's good to see you tonight. Did you come to have church? How many of you started your diet yesterday or today? Well, looks of some of you, I can tell you didn't start soon enough. And don't even look at me. But we're glad that God has given us another privilege to be back into His house. What an opportunity God has granted you and I. Isn't it good to be a Christian? Isn't it good to be able to smile right here in Satan's Eden, knowing that what God has put in your heart, Satan can't even touch that. He can destroy this old body in many various different ways, but I'm glad the real me he can't even touch. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Thank you, Lord. My father owns a cattle on a thousand hills. I believe I own at least one.
Stand amazed when I see his face, knowing I'm his son.
I'm rich in faith. The Lord. Well, God bless you tonight. Let's look at our prayer request. We don't have many. If you want to just remain standing with me tonight, I want to pray for the Borlovin. I hope my name's not even close to being right. Family in Alabama. Mother passed away a few days ago unexpectedly. Family is very devastated, so we want to remember that family, that God would comfort them. Please pray for the McDowell family. Their mom won victory over cancer. She passed away a few days ago in Georgia. That's one way to look at it, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Want to pray for Rose Patton, not expected to live, under hospice in Georgia. So she's claiming her healing. So let's just commit that unto the Lord tonight. And Sister Martha Ann Johnson says she's glad to be home. So praise the Lord for that. Brother Lionel Yance had some tests run this past week. And he's just asking us to pray with him that those test results will be good. Probably won't hear anything from them until maybe Monday or Tuesday of this coming week. So let's just pray with Brother Lionel and ask God to give him real good test results. God's able to do that, isn't he? Amen. Brother Juan from Minneapolis, Minnesota sends us in to request prayer for Brother Sola Sonami. I hope I got that name right. A deacon brother of Bible Way Tabernacle in Nigeria.
He is in the country for treatment. He's been sick for some months now, passing blood, not been able to get his normal blood pressure. He has a serious body weakness, but he's very strong in faith that God is able to bring him out of this. And they're asking that we would just commit that brother unto the Lord and ask God to be with him and touch him with healing in his body. Nora Harden in intensive care, please pray for her. We want to pray for that need tonight. Sister Jackie Williams sends that in. Please pray for Christine Ogles. She fell and broke her knee and is in a lot of pain. So let's pray for that need tonight as we pray. Brother Terry Tidwell's father, Brother Doris Tidwell, passed away, I guess, on Friday morning around 3:45 on Friday morning, I believe it was. And we want to pray for the Tidwell family as they go through this time that the Lord would just be with them and comfort their hearts. Penelope Luna, 7-month-old baby, infection in her body, also bad kidney. Please pray for her healing. So we just want to commit that need unto the Lord tonight. Sister Karen Cochran called to request prayer for her son and daughter-in-law. Their names are Jonathan and Ashley Cochran. They are currently going through some marital issues that could lead to divorce if God doesn't intervene. They have a 4-year-old daughter that would be affected by all of this. So let's commit that unto the Lord tonight. And here's an unspoken prayer request, an urgent need that the Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Our pastor is doing better. I believe he had the procedure done maybe, I believe it was on Monday, and he is doing better. He's feeling stronger and better all the time. So praise the Lord for that. We're glad that he is doing better. We just want to continue to remember him in prayer. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We know we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems. Sometimes they seem so great. Sometimes they seem so many. But to God, it's just a second away from getting your need met. I believe that tonight. Do you? Brother Randall, come tonight if you will. Lead us to the Lord. Let's commit these things unto God. We just pray for God's perfect divine will to be done. All these needs tonight. God bless you, buddy. I appreciate you.
Let's just bow our heads this evening. Eternal Father, such a privilege to be in your house, Lord. Such an awesome privilege, Lord. We just thank you for allowing us to be here tonight, Lord. Pray you touch every heart in divine presence, Lord. Pray you meet the needs that were spoken, Lord, that I hold in my hand, Lord. Each and every need, Lord. There's lost loved ones, Lord. There's families that are struggling today, Lord, with a loved one that you've taken home, Lord. I just pray you comfort the hearts of these families, Lord. I know that feeling, Lord. I lost 3 sisters, Lord, and I know the feeling. And it's tough, Lord. So I just pray that you'd minister to each and every family, Lord. Every need that was spoken, Lord, you know the need, Lord. And I know you're mindful, Lord. Every hand that was raised, Lord, there's a need there, Lord. And I just pray for each and every one, Lord. I pray for our pastor, Lord, as he would break the bread of life, Lord, that you would minister, Lord, to each and every heart, Lord. May we hear from heaven tonight, Lord. Meet every need of your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ushers, if you want to come at this time, if you want to receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord, if you're visiting with us tonight in this service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All of those that are streaming tonight, may God bless those folks from around the world that's streaming this service. Let's sing a song tonight. I believe he's in the house. Do you?
Amen.
Goodness gracious. Is that all that believes he's here? How many of you believe he's in the house?
Amen.
How many of you believe he's in your house?
Amen.
Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. He's in the house. Death had to flee. Now there is light where darkness used to be.
Some began to pray. again. But Jesus touched his heart and mind, gave me life again. I am just a house of clay. Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me.
Oh, aren't you glad about it, church?
All the world to see.
I'm so glad he's in our house tonight. Amen.
Brother Ron sent this in. This is a prayer request. Just come in. Please pray for my mother. She broke her foot in three places and will be operated on in the morning. Brother Ron sends that in. So we certainly commit that need unto the Lord, that God will just be mindful unto her tonight. And we had said that we was going to try to learn a song or two for this weekend. And Brother Larry... Brother Kenneth and Brother Gary was over there at the fellowship hall. We practiced this song a little bit, and we're just going to try to sing it tonight. It's a city called Homeland. If you don't like it, we'll never sing it again. But if you like it, we'll adopt it and we'll just sing it. It's a city called Homeland. It talks about somebody that's leaving and went to a better place. And if we'll be faithful and true, we'll get to see him again, face to face. I'm looking forward to a great reunion on the other side. I've got heroes of faith that I have never met, but I'm looking forward to getting to see them, aren't you? Amen. Let's see if we can sing. It's in F. Is it on the screen? Did you guys put it on the screen for us? There you go. It's up there. All right. That's the chorus. All right. Let's see if we can do it. You're going to learn it with me now, because we've never done this. All right. It's a city called Homeland. I can hear you calling me, oh, my homeland. Oh, how sweet it's going to be just to see you and to stand upon your shore and know I live there forevermore. Oh, it's a city called Homeland. I can't hear you calling me, oh, my homeland. Oh, how sweet it's gonna be just to see you and to stand upon
Though I tried, I could not hide how it hurt to see them go. And now I know they just left this world and moved to a better place. And someday soon you'll call me to, and I'll see them face to face. Oh, it's a city called Homeland. I can't hear you calling me. Beckoned to my loved ones, how the tears did flow. And though I tried, I could not hide how it hurt to see them go. Now I know they just left this world, moved to a better place. Someday soon you're gonna call me too, I'll see them face to face. It's a city called home. I can't hear you calling me, oh my homeland. Oh, how sweet it's gonna be just to see you and to stand upon your shore and know I'll live there forevermore.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight.
If you like that song,
yes.
It's all right. Yes. If you don't like it, we'll probably sing it anyway. But we'll hopefully you can learn that with us. Brother Swanson, have you got me a song tonight? It's liable to snow before you get up there.
Come to sing, Brother David. I told you was next, so you're next. Appreciate our brother, don't we? Give him a nice hand tonight.
One day I came to him. I was so thirsty. I asked for water. Oh, my throat was so dry. He gave me water that I had never dreamed of. But for this water, my dear Lord had to die. He said I'd thirst, yet he made the river. He said, I thirst, yet he made the sea. I thirst, said the King of the ages. From his great thirst, he brought water to me. Now there's a river, it flows as clear as crystal, and it comes from God's throne above. And like a river, it wells up inside me, bringing mercy and life-giving love. He said, I thirst, yet he made the rivers. He said, I thirst. rest, yet he made the sea. I thirst, said the King of the ages. Oh, from his great thirst, yes, from his great thirst, he brought water to me.
Stand together. Aren't you grateful? He was so willing to do such a thing. What a privilege we have.
Yes.
We've got so much to be thankful for.
That's right.
I've just been wondering this week, this time frame called Thanksgiving, how many people have actually spent it in Thanksgiving? Or if they spent it in eating and shopping and drinking and all sorts of things. It has really nothing to do with giving thanks to the Lord. I'm glad that God has a people that still know how to give thanks. We don't wait one time a year. I believe a real Christian has that something about them to give thanks to the Lord Jesus every day that they live. Don't have to be in church to do it. You don't have to be sitting around the pastor. It's just something in your heart that you realize he's done so many things for you. And if it wasn't for his grace, where would we be tonight? Let me give you a little update on, I had my procedure done on Monday. Probably most of you know about it. And, was able to come home Monday afternoon. Started passing a bunch of little tiny pieces of what used to be a big rock. Amen. There's something rather intimidating about a kidney stone. When you look in that little strainer and you see about 30 or 40 pieces of grains of sand, and you think, you are kidding me. This thing has done this to me and all these people for 6 weeks. Little things can make a big difference, can't they? Amen. So I've been doing better. Thank the Lord. Been feeling better yesterday and today. Not 100% yet, but I'm well on my way. And I just want to say I appreciate you praying for me. And I thank you for that. Brother Joe Harris is going to come and speak for us tonight. I was afraid it might be too much for me to take tonight and tomorrow too. So Lord willing, will be taken tomorrow. And if I'm feeling up to it, I've got a hunt trip planned. I'm supposed to leave on Tuesday. Be gone for a few days. Brother David Seiler will be preaching Wednesday. Brother Dale Smith will be here next weekend, Saturday and Sunday. So I've got some really good things lined out for you. So I just appreciate it. How many come tonight with a need in your life? That's important. But do you believe you come to the right place to get it met? That's just as important as having a need in your life. Let's open our hearts tonight. We believe Jesus is so mindful of every one of us, every need that we have, the consciences that we have, and the unconscious needs that we have. He's mindful of our sins of commission. He's mindful of our sins of omission. He's mindful of our needs that we are aware of. He's just as mindful of the needs that we know nothing about. Tomorrow morning, you may be facing the greatest trial of your life. Next week, whenever it could be, who knows what will happen to us. But we got this confidence. He holds my hand. He holds your hand. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Aren't you glad for that? Oh, praise God. What are we going to sing, Harry? What? You're the guy with all the music answers around here. So let me walk with Jesus. How about that? Let's bring Brother Joe out on that. Praise God. Let's sing together. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Can we just raise our hands as we sing it? Don't ever, ever leave me alone.
past, Lord. You'll never make heaven. Once again, mean it with all your heart now.
God bless y'all tonight. Brother Donnie texted me the other day, asked me if I'd take the service. He didn't feel like he'd be up to doing two services, and I told him I would, but I would be glad to help, but I would pray for a quick recovery so he could do it. He got one part of the deal. I think half of that got left out. But y'all know how I am. I'm nervous every time I get up here. And last time I preached here, brother, and meaning well, came up to me afterwards and said, "Man, you could tell you're nervous." And I thought, "Brother, you need to come tell me when I ain't, and then I'll sit down." So, but I really count it a privilege. I appreciate Brother Donnie having the confidence in me to ask, and I love doing God a service, but you gotta look at, you're handling God's property. You're dealing with the love of God's life, and I don't want to say anything wrong, put anything together that's wrong. So y'all pray for me if you will. If you will, turn your Bibles to Genesis 24. We're going to read verse 2 through 4. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all he had, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could come together, Lord, once again as your bride, Lord. Lord, as we were singing, Lord, to walk with you, Lord. That's not just taking a stroll along, Lord. That's becoming one with you. Lord, that is partaking of what you have for us, Father. Lord, I pray tonight, Father, that you would help us walk through these scriptures with you, Lord. Lord, you know when I put things together, Lord, notes make me nervous the more I read them, Lord, the nervous I get, and I realize I don't know how to put them together. I don't know how to put quotes in the right place, Father. But, Lord, I'm kind of glad of that, Lord. It gives me a little edge, Lord, that I can trust in you, that I can lean on you, Father. Lord, I pray that you would come tonight. Take these words, Lord, as we speak to the bride tonight. Lord, as I speak to myself, Lord, I have needs, Father, that you would meet with us. We welcome you, Lord. May you move up and down the aisles, Lord. Speak to each heart. May you have your place here tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I'm going to read one quote for you here. I'm going to preach tonight on the search for a true bride. Brother Branham said in the Evening Messenger in 63, "God has always counted character, not members. Today we do vice versa. We count members, good dress, well payers, instead of character. Eliezer sweated it out until he found character." That's right. Who would he get? And he trusted God. Character for what? Character for Isaac, the bride which the church is the type of. That was the natural seed of Abraham. This is the royal seed of Abraham. If Eliezer, the messenger, hunting the bride and trying to find character, if that man is come, a messenger of the last day, trying to find the bride of Christ, he will not look for a denominational membership. He will look for a character that's willing. Watch. Good character first. Then get her ready to meet Isaac. This whole quote, this is my favorite part. After he found the character, then he get her stand still long enough to listen to his message of Isaac. I hope y'all don't mind me preaching a sermon I've already preached. I preached this past summer at a brother's church, and I was telling Brother Donnie back there I got to studying recently on this past month. I didn't have any plans of preaching anywhere, but I try to study when I get a chance. And I was studying on the life of the seed and how that the life of the seed manifests itself through the word and the power that is in that seed. And if you look, I got to reading, seed is not heir to the shuck. And Brother Branham's talking about when Paul refers to Isaac and Ishmael in the Bible as Abraham's two children. And he makes the comment that, you know, Paul saying that there was two sons that Abraham had. He said, but Abraham had three sons. It took me a minute to digest that. So then I kept reading, and he said that third son was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I got to thinking the power that was in that natural seed. The natural seed that God looked at, the covenant seed of Abraham, that God looked down at that seed, there was so much power, so much life in that seed. He skipped all them generations between Isaac and Christ and said, this is your third son. But the part I looked at, that was the natural strain. Then along came Calvary. God took that natural strain and turned it to a spiritual strain.
Amen.
And he poured out the blood of the Lamb on that seed. The power and the life of that seed don't even compare to what the spiritual seed has. And I say that to say this, I'm not preaching on that tonight. But that's what I was going to preach on. And I had this sermon, and I prayed, and you know what? It just bared on my heart. I had already preached it. I asked Brother Darrell one time. I go to eat with Brother Darrell sometime. I said, Brother Darrell, is it okay to preach the same sermon somewhere else? So he said, buddy, I've preached the same sermon to the same church twice before. So I figured, well, that ain't too bad. So at least it's not the same church. So, but I was praying about it. And Monday night, I was praying. This sermon was just weighing on my heart. I didn't know why it was weighing so heavy, and I said, Lord, next time I preach, I'll preach it again. And Brother Donnie texted me the next day, so it was meant to be. So there's only one problem. I can never give it out like I get it, so you'll get it in bits and pieces. So we're looking at Eliezer. Abraham sends Eliezer out on a mission to find a bride for Isaac. First time I've read this scripture for years when he tells him, go get a bride for my son Isaac, but do not go out here to the Canaanites. Go to my own people. I thought, well, this is not type of bride. The bride's a Gentile bride. Why is he sending it back to his own people? And then I found a quote where Brother Branham said, the reason that that was that Jesus Christ will only accept a bride that's blood related.
That's right.
So she was typing him taking a bride back, taking a bride from his own people because she was blood related.
Amen.
You've got to receive a blood transfusion before you become bride. And you look at the message today, you got people falling apart, you got people falling in so many different places, and we live in a world to the people of this world, even people of this message. I had somebody just tell me yesterday that the message preacher that leans more towards John 3:16 than anything. You know, every promise that you accept in the Bible has to come through John 3:16. But you can't live on John 3:16 by itself. And we got people. I was talking to a lady at work one day. We was talking about going to church, and she said, well, Jesus loves me. That's all I need. And I knew what she was referring to. She was referring to John 3:16, and I don't need to go to church. Jesus loves me. That's all I need. I said, what about When the Bible says, forsake not together, assemble yourselves together. I mean, she didn't even say ouch. She didn't say nothing. She just shut me off and turned away like I wasn't even there. But that's what people, their message to the bride of people today is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is the people of the world, and the people nowadays that are supposedly they're free, they're taking that as their message to the bride. Amen. They're taking that as this is all I need. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. I'm saved. I can go do what I want now. Well, you're right, because that's what you want to do.
Right.
And as Eliezer goes to Rebecca's family, of course, you know the story, how he prays there, Lord, if the right one comes, Lord, would she is a ask if I need water, could she water my camels as well? He didn't go there with a John 3:16 message. He didn't go there for whoever wants to be Isaac's bride, come out. But that's what people are leaning on. They're leaning on that like they believe that that's what it is. And so he goes there with a message. Basically, let God show me who it is. I'm not going to go there preaching to the family. So he goes there, and you know the story as it comes. It's a similar thing today. The 20th century, when we had Eliezer coming this day.
Amen, right.
That was, Brother Branham was preaching the contest in 1962. And he referred to John 3:16.
Preach, Brother Joe.
He said, John 3:16, you start training for a fight, it will get you on the floor. You're on the floor. John 3:16 got you in the fight. So now what are you going to fight with? You're the bride of Christ. What are you going to fight with? But Bam said, then you have to train for the knockout punches. We look at the people in the wilderness. Brother Branham typed the rock. When Moses smoked the rock and the water came out. Brother Branham typed that as John 3:16. How that Moses smoked the waters and it said the waters poured out. Everybody was fed. Everybody drank. But everyone perished. It was going to take more than that word. So as he comes... As he comes to Rebecca's family, and he comes to him, and she accepts the Eliezer is the messenger, and then she accepts, the way I like to look at it is she watered the camels, is she accepted the camels. Because Brother Branham typed him as the word. Brother Branham said the beast, the camel was a beast, and the beast represented power, and the power was the word. So not only did she accept the messenger, she accepted the word that the messenger brought. And so he comes to her, and after she accepts, and he gives her the earrings and the bracelets weigh in 10 shekels. As he comes to her family notices the gifts that she's got. And the messenger goes to her family too and preaches the same message to her family that he preached to her.
Amen.
But what did they want? They wanted the gifts.
Right.
That's all they could look at. And the Bible... And the Bible talks about Laban seeing coming up to Rebekah. What stands out most about that scripture was he saw the gifts that Eliezer gave him. That's what happened in our day. Why people lost their focus of Isaac, of Christ, from the very start when they saw the gifts. When they saw the miracles, the healing, the calling out, that's where they placed their emphasis at. Was on the gifts. And here's where the bride, she's seen the owner of the gifts. She's seen where the gifts came from, where the gifts belong. And we look at the people back in that day. You see, when Brother Branham's message started to turn to the bride, when Brother Branham said, when he called it the third pull, it's a calling out. It's a pulling away. Then you had these ministers trying to come take Brother Branham to go get healing campaigns.
Right. Yeah.
They, even in the services, if you look back and listen to the seals, Brother Brandon was telling in the seals, well, we get done here after we preach this service, hopefully we'll have a healing line. Because that's what the people wanted.
Right.
And when it got less and less, when the gifts didn't come like they did before, they started falling away.
Right.
And that's what that wasn't what Rebecca saw. If you take the gifts that Rebecca had, look at the gifts that what Rebecca was given. He gave her the bracelets. He gave her the earrings. And then they went into the tent, sat with the family. He gave her more precious jewels. He gave jewels and precious gifts to the family. So what did they say to him when he said, I need to go. I'm taking the bride.
Right.
No, stay with us 10 more days. Stay with us here 10 more days. Just wait a while. As long as he was there, the gifts were there. As long as the gifts were coming, they were satisfied. As long as the gifts were coming, they was never seeing the message of Isaac. And here, you look at the people that, in the last day, you look at the people now. People in the message. Why are they leaving? They've been here 30, 40 years. You're not seeing the healing like you used to. You're not seeing the soul saved like you used to. You're seeing a message of correction. You're seeing a message of preparation.
Amen.
You're seeing a clothing of the bride.
Amen.
It's not about, speaking in tongues, calling out, and people rising up, and you know, everything is happy, and getting a message of love every service. Everybody's coming in expecting to get a jewel. Sometimes you're going to get a briar. Sometimes you're going to get a stick. Sometimes that's more than gold. If you apply it in the right way. So what does Eliezer tell Rebecca? We know he didn't go with the John 3:16 message. But John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. He gave his son for the world, the cosmos, everybody. For God would have no man perish. So he gives. So what is John 15? The same man that wrote John 3:16 in John 15:19 says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world. This is the message that Eliezer takes to Rebecca. You're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. Hey, if you're a bride, you're not going to fit in. You're not going to. I've told my boys going to school, don't try to fit in. No matter how you try to, if you're seed, I don't care how you try to fit in. You ain't going to fit in. Hey, that Holy Ghost is going to make sure you don't fit in. I don't care how hard you try. Then he tells her, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's why they hate you, because you're peculiar. That you show forth praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Those verses, those chapters, without John 3:16, they're nothing. You can't have those without John 3:16. But you can't have John 3:16 without having those. If you're a bride. It's part of it. Just a few more verses here. This is Eliezer preaching to Rebecca. You could take it for your day. You can take it for Rebecca's day. Whatever you want to do. According to he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Ephesians 5:27, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that they should be holy and without blemish. You say, Brother Joe, I'm bride. I don't have no spots. Sometimes people can't see their spots because they got so many wrinkles. Wrinkles hide spots. I've said this before. I probably haven't said it here. You have people that think that tenure puts them in the bride. I've been here 20, 30, 40 years. I've been following this message. That's the big cliche. I've been following the message for 20, 30, 40 years. That's your problem. You've been following it. Everyone that followed the pillar of fire out of Egypt perished because they followed it. You have to become what you're following. You have to get into what you're following. You can't follow the message. You can't follow the message and expect to be saved. You're just following it around. What all you're doing is eating dust. Because the message is kicking up the dust. The bride don't eat dust. Brother Branham said, at time of decision, wonder why Rebecca came before any of the other girls. This is what I said before, why she was blood relation. Did you know that Rebecca and Isaac were cousins? The bride of Jesus Christ is blood relation to him, a blood brought by bride. No wonder she was led by the Spirit. There was a connection coming together. There was a union coming together. Blood relation with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now let's look at the journey. After she receives the gifts, they try to get him to stay. And he says, I'm leaving today. The bride's leaving. I'm calling out the bride. That was the message in this last day. I'm calling out the bride.
Amen.
Just so you're not confused, when Brother Branham left the scene, Eliezer didn't. The same calling in the fivefold ministry is the call of Eliezer to Rebecca. It's the same call then as it was when Brother Branham came on the scene. You know, when you look at it now, you wonder why you don't see as many people at the altar. You don't see so many people giving their lives. You see people not coming to church but on Sundays anymore. You know when people get heartbroken about that? I don't. Because I know it's almost over. There's fewer coming in. The fewer that are coming in, that means the next one could be the last one. It's almost over. The bride, the marriage is already done. Okay, some of you are thinking, hey, we're going to get married. That part's already over. In 1953, in Owensboro, Kentucky, Brother Branham, it was in 53 when Brother Branham first used the term Miss Jesus Christ. So it's over. The marriage has already happened. She's producing. She's bringing forth a son called Jesus Christ. So as she leaves, the camel train heads out. We look at Rebecca. She takes her gifts. She's got these gifts. What does she do with hers? I'm sure the family stockpiled theirs. They used it to get, hey, I got a gift from the prophet. I got a belt buckle. He prayed for me and I got healed. How many ever remember Brother Bannon talking about that young lady over in Acton, Kentucky that was dying and they were talking about you couldn't even lay a bed sheet on her? And talked about her sister running down the hill screaming after she got healed. I met that woman, the one that was coming down, her sister. She had blue jean shorts on smoking cigarettes. She accepted a gift. It's all that mattered. She accepted a gift. She missed the picture that Eliezer was painting. Every gift that was given. Look at every gift that was given. Where did it come? It came from the Father. It came from Isaac. If you read that chapter on Abraham and Isaac, it refers to Abraham and it refers to Isaac as his master. So all these gifts that they were getting came from Isaac and they did not realize where it came from. They didn't care. They were richer. That's what people want. What does Rebecca do with her gifts? She takes them back to the Word, the camels. She takes her gifts and climbs on the Word and takes them right back to where they came from. So they go on the journey. They're going on this journey back to meet Isaac. I'd love to have been a fly on a camel listening to Eliezer tell her about Isaac. I've always wondered, I guess, because I don't question my position in the bride. To me, God has revealed that to me is I'm standing here. I no longer question that. And being in that position, and those of you that are, I hope we all are, consider yourself a member of the bride. How could you hear the message, the picture that Eliezer of this day painted of Jesus Christ and want something else? Want something different? And no doubt as they went on the journey, Eliezer began to talk to her and tell her about his master. Always as they kept going, He began to explain what he looked like, his mannerisms, how much land he had, how tall he was, how he liked to dress, what he liked to eat. He would explain it to her, and they would stop, and she would say, "Oh, Eliezer, tell me some more." They would stop to feed the camels. "Eliezer, tell me some more." They would stop to camp for the night. "Eliezer, tell me more about Isaac."
Praise the Lord.
And they would get ready to lay down, and she'd say, "Eliezer, don't stop talking. Don't stop describing him to me."
Amen.
She fell in love with him before she ever saw him. You can't say you've never seen him, because this message has painted a picture so clear.
Amen.
When you see him, you'll know exactly who he is. Amen. There'll be no doubt.
Amen.
There'll be no doubt who he is.
Amen.
But Eliezer's painting this picture to her, and she don't see the gifts. She still has them. She don't think about them. They're there. But all she can think about is Isaac. Brother Branham talks about the story of Rebecca and Isaac. How she, Brother Branham says, in Redemption by Judgment, a beautiful story of Rebecca and how she got on the camel and went to meet Isaac with Eliezer. And Isaac, being the type of Christ, the Son of God, which was the son of Abraham, who fell heir to all Abraham's goods and all he had. He was out in the field the evening time, wandering around in the field, when he saw the beautiful Rebecca coming on a camel. Brother Branham said, "Oh my, that makes chills go through me." The beautiful Rebecca, he'd never seen her. He never knew who she was. But Eliezer was hunting her up, and he found her by the witness of the Holy Spirit. Said, when Rebecca came to water the camels, which was a sign that she was willing to go, and got on the camel and went to meet, when he was out in the field, halfway from the father's house. When Rebecca saw Isaac, she veiled her face. She jumped off the camel and ran to meet him. It was love at first sight. I don't know what he's going to look like. He may be a big man. He may be a little man. He may be brown. He may be white. He may be black. I don't know what color he'll be, what kind of hair, what color eyes he'll be, but I love him. I don't care what he looks like. I love him. Yes, sir. The church will love him. And reading that, I got the... Brother Branham goes on to say, he says, he's on the road now. He says, "I believe he's left the ivory palaces, coming through down to receive his bride." That was in 54. And Brother Branham believed that then. Where are we at now? Where? What position are we as in the bride? Are we dressed? Are we fully dressed? You got a button undone somewhere. Is your veil not properly arranged? Is your wedding dress not hemmed the right way? Looking at how people back in that day, Brother Branham was here. You know how much he loved God. You know how much he loved the Word. I mean, Brother Branham, he made no bones about Christ being the love of his life. The way he could paint a picture of him, how he could explain him. And people not want it. And you got people now in this message that are falling away from this message, trying to point at the humanity of Eliezer. Looking at a man's humanity and putting a focus on that. Because a bridge vision that he had, they can't find proof of it. Last time I read, God said that Elijah was going to anoint Jehu, but I don't think that's what happened. Does that make God not God? You say, "Well, Brother Joe, do you believe the bridge?" Absolutely.
Yes,
just like he said it.
Amen. Amen.
But that's not part of the Word.
No. Preach it, brother.
That was there for somebody for some reason. But that's not to me. I'm not eating that. I believe it with everything that's in me.
Amen.
That's not on my plate. That's not what I'm eating. I'm eating the Word. I'm eating Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's just a picture in the dining room in my book. It's part of the setting.
Amen.
For some reason, it's there.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
But what I'm looking at is the picture that he painted. The meal that he prepared me in Jesus Christ. I'm not going to look at his humanity. I was talking to a friend of mine. He came to visit here a few months ago, and he was telling me several years ago, him and his father went to, I believe it was Brother Banks Wood that lived beside Brother Branham, if I'm not mistaken. They went to visit Brother Banks' son, David. And he said, they were sitting there talking to him for a while. And so David told him, said that one afternoon, he said, Brother Branham came walking down the sidewalk just weeping, just sobbing. And Brother Banks is like, Brother Branham, what's wrong? He said, I believe God's going to take me. He said, Brother Branham, what are you talking about? He said, I believe God's going to take me. He said, why? What are you talking about? He said, they believe I'm God. Yeah. And it killed Brother Branham. It just killed him to think that I preached this picture of Isaac. I preached this picture of Jesus Christ for so long. And they think I'm preaching me. They think I'm painting a picture of myself. And he said, Brother Branham said, but it ain't them out there. He said, it's my closest friends. It's the ones that were around him every day. It's the ones he ate with, the ones he hunted with. They thought he was God, and it just killed Brother Branham to think that. But look at Rebecca. Where did she meet him at? She met him in the field. But you know the scripture, we'll meet him in the air. We won't meet him in heaven. We won't meet him in earth. And I like that type. The biggest message I want to get to you in talking to you about Rebecca was she didn't go looking for a bridegroom. She wasn't looking. She was going through her daily chores. She was going to get water to cook with, to drink, to do the dishes. Her daily routine, that's what she was doing. And she ran into the messenger. You can't say I came searching for a bride. Like a bridegroom, you didn't search nothing. You didn't search for anything. We sing that song up here, the more I seek him. That song is true. But you can only seek him after you're found. And I'm going to change this picture here a little bit. I'm going to go to Ruth. This is my favorite story in the book, if you want to call it story. Last time Brother Tim Burdett was here, Brother Tim said something he was preaching on, I don't remember what it was a certain strain of his that he preached on that. More than anything. And the bride is my strain, I guess, because it talks about me. And I don't know why, but there ain't nothing that pulls the strings of my soul like seeing myself in a book. But look at Ruth. Ruth, according to historians, her and Orpah was the daughter of King Eglon. Of Moab. You know the story. Her husband dies. Mahlon dies. Chilion dies. Orpah's husband. Naomi's husband is dead, so she's going back to the homeland. Ruth is not about to leave her. No matter what.
Amen.
I used to think when I heard that when I was younger, I didn't read much. I always took for what people said that Naomi typed the church as far as the world church. And I got to reading when I got studying. Brother Branham said that she typed the old Jewish gospel. She was the gospel that brought the Gentile bride in. And I just, that done something for me. That just shows a picture of a Gentile bride clinging to that word. Just saying, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to do what you do. This hanging on to that word, that's all she wanted.
Amen.
She didn't go looking for a bridegroom. We always wonder, as she come out. I'm going to read this real quick. Sorry, I'm chopping things up. I apologize. Naomi now, the type of the Jewish church. Ruth, the type of the Gentile church. Notice. Now here she comes back, see. Ruth being a Gentile. heathen worshipers, she looked back and said, I'll go with you. Where you live, I'll live. Where you die, I'll die. Where you're buried, I'll be buried. Let your God be my God. That's the Gentile church accepting salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a beautiful picture. Brother Branham says, I wish we had more time. On the inside, Brother Branham says, she said, let your people be my people. Let me live where you live. Let me die where you die. Let me be buried where you're buried. Let your God be my God. Beautiful picture of the young Gentile church coming in by the old Jewish church. The Jews had packed the gospel first. The thing that always stood out to me was when she said, let your God be my God. You know, when I got to studying this, I've had these notes, most of these notes for about a year. There's something that stood out to me. And here's a Gentile woman, a Moabite woman, telling Naomi, let your God be my God. And I got to think of that. What Ruth didn't realize, she was going to bring forth the very God in flesh, Naomi's God in flesh. She didn't even know what she was saying. Naomi's God was going to become her God in more ways than she ever thought. I thought, Lord, let that be in us. Let us produce the God of our life. You know, we hear that song, we sing that song, He Became Me, that I could become Him. You know, and it becomes words. It becomes words. You say, hey, Brother Joe, how could it become words? Look at your actions. Are you doing what your God would do? Are you going where your God would go? But she comes to a strange land. There's just something about Naomi that she can't leave. Coming to Naomi, she's coming to a strange land. She's coming to a strange people. But they don't shun her as a Gentile. They were considered dogs, which was pretty much a good sign that these were godly people. She goes to a field to glean. She's poor. She left everything she had. Her dad was a king. But she gave it all up for the God of Naomi. What brings her to the field? When I got studying this, I wonder what brought Ruth to the field to glean? But ask yourself that question. Those that per se were not born in the message. What brought you to the field of the Word? You can't say I was searching for something, because you weren't. It was a hunger. Ruth was hungry. That's what brought you this Word. There's that seed that's inside of you, that when you take your first breath of life, that seed that gets dropped down in there, a live seed hungers. It's got to have nourishment, or it'll die. There's nourishment and there's qualities in water that you can't, that the seed has to take to grow. And so Ruth was hungry. She wasn't looking to get married. She was going to get food. That's what brought you here. You were looking for something to eat. You were eating the rotten corn of denominations. You were eating molded food in denominations. And that seed wasn't gathering nourishment. But here she comes to a field. She steps in this field and she don't know it. In God's eyes, she owns it all. You didn't know it when you came here. You didn't know it when you came into the Word, that everything that you're standing on, everything you're eating belongs to you anyway. She couldn't see that. All she knew, she had a hunger. That's why you see people come and leave. They come into this Word with ulterior motives. They come in with an agenda. They're not hungry. Some of them come in because they think, hey, there's some wealthy people there. I can rub shoulders with them. We can be buddies and this, that, and the other. It don't work that way. You should have one thing on your mind. It's to eat. I'm going to eat. That's what hungry people do. They eat. And so that's what Ruth was doing. She was hungry. And I got to looking at the gleaning, the people that gleaned. I did a search on historical search on the people that gleaned back in there. And it's real vague. There ain't a whole lot of stuff, but it was the poor people. Back in that day, the poor people, they allowed them to glean. After the gleaners would go forth, the reapers would go forth, they would cut the stalks off down low. They would bundle them up in sheaves. And as they bundle them, they're stomping, moving around, walking around. Stuff is falling off the sheaves. Some stuff don't get caught, but it leaves a little stubble about that high. Little sharp stubbles. And you've got to crawl around in that. The sheaves fall down to the pieces of barley, and part of the stalk and part of the tassel will fall down the ground. It gets stomped by the reapers. So these gleaners have to come in and pick that out. Why do you think Boaz told him to drop some handfuls for her? She wasn't getting enough. She wasn't getting much. But if I can for a minute, I want to paint a little picture here of Ruth gleaning. She comes to the field, and we know she asked the servant, "Can I glean in the field?" He tells her to go ahead. She's journeyed a long time. She has nothing. She's poor. She's hungry. She needs something to eat. The season that they're in is a dry season. They reap in when the season gets dry, the barley gets dry, the ground is dry and dusty. She gets on her hands and her knees. She's crawling through sharp stubble. She's digging in the dust for little pieces of barley. It's the heat of the day. Because their servant told Boaz, she's reaped here almost all day and only just now took a break. So she's sweating. She wipes her brow with her dirty hands. What do you think Boaz saw when he walked up in that field? No doubt she's getting scratched. And she's not only getting a handful, because everything she's getting, she's digging out of the dirt. But Boaz walks by and he sees this little lady down on her knees. Dirty, scratched. Her face dirty where she's wiped the sweat off with her dirty hands. And she stops him in his tracks. That's exactly what God saw when he saw you. You were dirty. You were nothing. You were digging it for everything you could get. Your life had reached bottom. There was nowhere else for you to go. You were starving to death. And you crawl down on your knees to pick a piece of barley. A piece of barley called the Word. Out of the dirt. I was born in this message. But I know a lot of people that came in. And you people that came from different denominations. You can't tell me the first time you heard that word. Satisfied something in you that you've never... never had.
Amen.
Ruth expected to go glean corn. She said, "I'm going to go get some corn." That's all she'd ever ate.
Amen. Right.
She didn't know what barley was. All she ever ate was denominational corn.
Right.
She gets into a field. She's crawling around.
Amen.
And then the Lord of the harvest walks into the field. But you look at her.
Hallelujah.
He walks by. Just say he's walking by and he looks over and he stops. Well, who's that? Oh, Lord, that's Gene Terrell. He's been here all day. He's gleaned since morning. He hasn't went to another field. But he looked at Brother Gene and fell in love with him. In his dirty, sinful, fleshly humanity. Condition. If you can't see yourself in Ruth, you need to go back. You need to pray through and go back and read it again. But Ruth is, she don't see him coming. She wants to satisfy that hunger. But Boaz, he was searching that day. I was telling Brother Donnie back there earlier, I read some, what they call a midrash. It's the rabbis back in the second century took the old Jewish scrolls and started explaining them. They're talking about Boaz and Ruth, and they claim that the day that Ruth and Naomi got to Bethlehem, the people that met her, met them, the people of the city that met them, were coming from the funeral of his wife. So Boaz, he was searching. He needed somebody to carry on his name. That was the thing back then. You had to have heirs. But here, there's something about her. Through the sweat, through the dust, through the dirt, he looks at her and he falls in love with her. And the Bible says there's kind of all kinds of maidens in the field. Not one of them moved him. Not one of them could turn the eye of Boaz. But he fell in love with her. So what does he tell the servants? Brother Branham says in Redeemer's Redemption, he said to the servants, "You see that young lady right there behind you? Yes, sir. Let the gleaning be heavy. Every once in a while, drop a handful on purpose." I love those handfuls, don't you?
Amen.
"Gleaning behind the reapers, drop a handful on purpose that she could get it." How Ruth felt when she grabbed a handful. Said the reaper turned around and said, "That's all right. That's all right. You can have it. You're not still picking up pieces. You own the field. You can get all you want. You can get all you want." When the day was over, she beat out all her wheat and put it in her apron and took it to her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law advised her, "If you want to find out how to do," Paul said, "after giving in Hebrews 10, the chapter of faith, now seeing that we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every sin and run the race. This patience that's set before us, lay aside every weight and the sin rather so easily beset us and run with patience." So she goes to Naomi. And in my notes here, I got in parentheses the gospel. Because every time she goes back to Naomi, Naomi's advising her something. This is the gospel telling her what to do. She says, "Don't you leave that field. Don't you leave this word. You stay right here in this word." Says, "When the maidens go out, you go with them. Don't be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. You stay in Boaz's field." And she stayed in Boaz's field till the harvest was over. I'd say after Ruth was noticed by Boaz, I'd say he came to the field every day and stayed as long as he could. He wasn't going to miss her. He was going to make sure that he saw Ruth in the field. That's no different than your God tonight. Every service he comes here and he waits for you to walk in. He stands up here, his heart beating out of his chest for you to walk through that door. And if you don't come, his feelings don't change from the next service. He'll wait and wait for you. Brother Branham said an end sign. Well, I'm going to wait on that. Ruth finds out that Boaz is next to kin. And Naomi tells her what to do. Go to the threshing room floor, lay at his feet. Find him. Go in there and find him. Reading some of the biblical theologians of today, they claim that she was going in there so he would lay with her. I thought, you know, that's just the devil's perversion right there. Brother Branham said she laid at his feet to show that she trusted him. And the type of throwing the skirt over was the type of the Holy Spirit. I thought, Lord, people just do anything they can to pervert the word. So Boaz tells Ruth, "I'll do whatever's required of me. Whatever it costs, I'm going to do." Of course, you know the story, how he goes outside the gate. He goes outside the gate and with the next of kin. And the little parlay they have out there. And he says, "Yeah, I'll redeem Naomi." He says, "Well, that day you redeem Naomi, you'll have to buy Ruth." He said, "Well, I can't do that. I'll mar my own testimony." And one scripture, Brother Branham said, he threw his shoe at him. So Boaz wanted her pretty bad. But why did he want Ruth? He saw quality. He saw a real lady through the dirt. This was something he was willing to pay the price for. The bride is a real lady. Don't matter if you're poor, if you're rich. It don't matter. She's a real lady. You don't find that anymore. Most of us work out here in the secular world, and you see it every day. I'm working with a girl one day. She's now a nominal Christian, but back then she wasn't. She said just something every day. She would say something filthy and just turn around and look at me and laugh. So one day she come off with something, just it was nasty. And she looked at me and said, "Does it shock you me say that?" I said, "No, ma'am." I said, "What would have shocked me is if a lady had said it." And she never said nothing else after that. So that worked. So Boaz is bound and determined to pay the price. And I wonder if we ever stop and think about the price that Boaz paid. Because there's no better picture in the Bible of the price of redemption that types Calvary as much as Boaz outside the gate. So Boaz tells her, I'll pay anything. She's got to be mine. She's got to be mine. You look at your life. You look at the thing in your life. Everybody hides things. You look at the thing in your life that you're the most ashamed of, that nobody knows but you. He said, I'll take that. I'll take that unto myself. You don't have to bear that shame. If you bear that shame, it's your own humanity, because I'm taking it from you. The worst thing you've ever done in your life. And he steps outside the gate and they begin to beat him. They begin to pull his beard out, spit on him. And you were the only thing on his mind the entire time. Everything they'd done, every stripe he got, he knew he was getting it because he was buying you. It was a purchase. Every stripe, the more they beat him, the closer he got to you. You think he felt the pain? Sure he did. You think that he was humiliated? They stripped him naked. We go through life, every day of our life. Hey, I'm in the message. How many can say that every day of your life you think of the price that was paid for you? Only time you ever think of it is when you fall and you start to repent. Do you ever think about Calvary on your good days? When you're on top of the mountain, does Calvary ever enter your mind? So he's beaten. He's bloody. You think he was just paying the price for you? We weren't the only ones. It goes from the beginning all the way to now. There was a little bride down in hell that needed out. And the third seal, Brother Branham said, Eve was God's bride. She fell in the garden. Can you imagine when that price was paid? And Christ goes to hell and kicks open the doors. I can imagine the first thing he said when he screamed out was, Adam, where art thou? You think Adam just moseyed on out? I'm right here. Imagine he grabbed Eve by the hand. Nothing's going to stop him. He said, Eve, that's him right there. That's him. The second Adam was setting free the first Adam. And I don't believe he just jogged out of hell with Eve. And here we are, the price that he paid. All that claimed the blood. I mean, God loved us all so much, he said, he gave John 3:16. What if Ruth had walked into the field and gleaned John 3:16 and walked out? She would have starved to death. She would have starved to death. But you got to have it all. You got to, everything that's in the field. You can't just eat part of the field. You have to have it all. You own it now, so I mean, you can eat it whenever you want. So he goes outside and he pays the price. And what happens after he pays the price? He sends Eliezer back to Ruth, says, the price is paid. Make preparations. I know in real life he didn't send Eliezer back. I'm just dramatizing a little bit. He goes back, they send back to Ruth. The price has been paid. Boaz has paid the price. I wonder if Ruth said, oh, great. Could you tell Boaz one thing for me? I'll be there. I've DVR'd Ryan's Hope, Guiding Light, and all my children. And Wednesday nights and Saturday nights is the only time I get to watch them. So as soon as those are over, you tell Boaz I'll be there. Ryan's only hope is right here eating the word. The Guiding Light will bring Ryan right here.
Amen.
And all of God's children will be right here.
Amen.
Hey, let's look at it for real. If we're going to look at it, let's look at it for real. How bad do you want to be the bride? Have you got time? Have you got time to be the bride? We got time for everything else. We get so wrapped up in what we're doing. The very God of heaven, the King of glory, your bridegroom sits here Wednesday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning with nothing on his mind but see you walk in the door and feed you a meal.
Amen.
Well, we got too much to do. Mahoney's has got a new muzzleloader and a new bow I want to buy. I got a new gun, so I got to work Wednesday night 4 hours over. I got to work Saturday night. I can't make it. That's your God. That becomes your God. We put too much things on life. We put too much emphasis on life. Things we enjoy, our pleasure, our vacations. Hey, the Vols are playing Saturday night. I'll be there Sunday morning. Anything you put before God is your God. If you miss church, to have a... I'm sorry about this. Wednesday nights, Saturday nights, and Sundays is his date night for you. That's his date night. He comes up here. He sits. He pulls up a table. His chair right here, your chair right here. And he has the waiter back there in the back preparing it. Because he's ordered it and you've ordered it. You've put your order in. He's put his order in. And you're going to leave him sitting here. You're going to sit home and watch Atlanta Braves play. You stood him up for a one-eyed devil. You stood up the King of glory for your own pleasure. Basically, what you're telling him is the price he paid was not enough. It's going to take more than that to get you to church. Hey, there ain't a person in here don't fight to get to church. Because Satan's going to make sure you fight. He's going to make sure he battles you every day. Them church doors are open, you're in a battle. But a price was paid for you to win that battle. There should be a love. A true bride will have the love to get here. Just because you're a bride, you have the Holy Ghost, you love God with all your heart. That ain't going to keep Satan from battling you. It's going to happen. I don't mean to step on toes. I hope that's nobody in here. I'm preaching to myself too. But we look at the price. I'm going to wrap up here. Kinsman Redeemer, Brother Branham said, now Boaz, he had to make a public. He said, can you redeem her? He said, no. He had to make a public testimony. He picked off his shoe and threw it at him. He said, there you are. Let all Israel know that I've redeemed Naomi and also take Ruth. I take Ruth for my bride. Who was it? The Lord of the harvest. Amen. There she is. I redeem Naomi and get Ruth. Ruth will be my bride. What'd they say? May she be like Leah and Rachel and raise up thousands. And she has, that's right, unto Israel. May she be that way. And look, he made a public testimony. As I was studying this, I had to make sure I didn't leave Naomi out. She's got a major part to play in this. Brother Brandon says she typed the Jewish church, she typed Israel. But you look at Naomi coming back. Naomi come back with nothing. She lost all she had. She needed a kinsman redeemer. Different quotes. Brother Branham says, Naomi was redeemed and Ruth was purchased. But before he could even purchase Ruth, he had to redeem Naomi. You don't you think that Boaz held Naomi to high esteem? Why did he say Ruth is in the field. She asked him, she says, why have I found favor in your sight? Because of the way you've treated your mother-in-law. It's been told to me. And then once she comes to the threshing room floor, what does she tell her? He hands her the apron full of barley. Go not empty to your mother-in-law.
Amen.
But Naomi needed redemption. She needed to be redeemed back to what she had before. She needed the name. She needed her name redeemed back of her husband. So we look at the union of Boaz and Ruth produces a child. And the people tell her that after the son is produced by the union of Ruth. And they tell Boaz, may your house be the house of Perez, who was born under Tamar. Perez was the breach. Naomi needed a breach. Who took the child into themselves after it was born? It was Naomi. Who produced the child? The bridegroom and the bride. He looked up the name. Of course, Obed means servant in Strong's Concordance. It's got it as worshiper or worship. So Naomi takes his child to nurse. Her bitterness returns back to worship. Her name has been restored through Obed. Without him, she's got nothing. She needed this redemption. Because without just the marriage alone, just the marriage of Ruth and Boaz alone was nothing for her. She had to have what they produced to carry on her name. It says she begins to nurse the child. And I looked this word up in the Hebrew. It's to support, to confirm, to be faithful, uphold, and nurse, to stand firm, to trust, to be certain, and to believe in. She believed this child. She wanted to restore her name back. As I was studying this, let's stand. I'm done. As I was studying this, I was telling Brother Terry Horn about it. I was telling Brother Terry, I said, Brother Terry, I really believe, you know, the union of a man and a woman, when a man finds a bride and they become married in the sight of God, I look back at Adam and Eve in the garden. When God ran running through the garden, calling Adam. He wasn't just calling the man. He was calling them both. She wasn't named Eve till after the fall. And God viewed them as one. And he said, Brother Joe, he said, I believe that so much. He said that I believe when a man, if a man and a woman are married, and that woman is his eternal mate, when God calls him from the grave, she'll come with him. And I found the quote. Y'all can look at it however you want. This is not a doctrine. So I ain't into that. But Brother Branham said this in Kinsman Redeemer. Yesterday morning, we were laying in bed a little late. And the children didn't have to go to school. We got to speaking about different things. And Hal said, what was hatred? I said, hatred had a beginning, so it has to have an end. Love had no beginning, so it has no end. Hatred is forever. Love is eternal. Hatred begins and hatred will end. Love will never did begin and will never end. It's eternal. When a man loves a woman and marries her just because she's pretty, there'll be an end to that. But when a man finds a woman he loves, he don't know why he loves her, but he loves her. She finds the man she loves no matter what he looks like. He loves her, she loves him. That's an eternal mate in glory. Death or nothing else can ever separate them. They stepped out into space of time and returned back to eternity. Eternity is dropped down in a body called time. Then it goes right back up into eternity again. It cannot perish. And I read that. They stepped out into space of time. If me and my wife go way to the grave, and my name's called, I'm going to reach over and take her with me. Christ is not complete without you. You're one. There's something about the bride that He loves. You look at yourself and you say, I can't figure it out. He didn't ask you to. He didn't ask you to figure it out. You got to believe in His love. You say, why? Because He said so. If He hasn't proved it enough by what He gave, what else has He got to do? You say, oh, Brother Joe, I love Him too. I do too. But sometimes I wonder, I'm speaking about myself. Does my life show it? Can people look at my life and say, that man loves God? I think about the song Harry sings all the time, Dove Leads a Lamb. And that second verse, she stands before Him in linen white with righteousness that's not her own. Every time I think of that song, I hear that song, I think, that's God looking at me. But He don't see me. He sees Himself. Because it's His own righteousness that He sees. You down yourself all the time. You put yourself down all the time. And you think, why? Why am I this? Why am I that? God don't look at that. God don't look at your stinking, rotten humanity. He didn't marry that. He didn't marry that. That didn't, the bride, to God, in God's eyes, is not humanity. It's a bride without spot or wrinkle. And I believe with all my heart that she's just about dressed. She may be fully dressed, just waiting on the call. Let's bow our heads, please. Is anyone that will want to be remembered? Say, Brother Joe, I believe I'm bride, but I never think about it. I never think about the price that was paid to purchase me. Maybe you're on the mountain a lot and you forget about Calvary. That's the problem with this so many times. We have our up days so long. Good times are going so long. Price of redemption just is a faded memory. The only time we ever think about it is when we're down in the valley. I'm to blame for that. I do the same thing. Whenever things are going well for me, you know, I hate to say it, I forget about the cross. But let's just pray. In your prayer, pray to yourself. Lord, let me recognize myself as a bride. But Abraham said, until a bride recognizes who she is, she's not getting out of here. And you can't get married unless you recognize you're a bride. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You, Lord, for the price You paid for me, Lord. Lord, if I was to look at my own humanity, look at my deeds, my sins, my faults, my failures, Lord, I would never understand why You would pay that much of a price for me, Father. But Lord, just to think, Lord, as You knelt in the garden, Father, every sin that was in my life, every sin that I would ever commit, was just laid on Your back. That was Your price for me, Lord, because You wanted to marry me. And You were willing to take that, Father. Lord, I thank You for that. I pray You would touch everyone here, Father. Lord, help us to realize, Lord, the day's short. The time is at hand, Lord. It can't be much longer. The world's corrupt. Society is turning their back on You, Lord. The economy has crumbled. The government, Lord, they got no place for You. They don't want You, Lord. If they do, it's only lip service, Father. Lord, help us to realize, Father. Lord, I pray in my life, I've got room for you, Lord. Lord, help us to check up on our lives, Lord. Conduct ourselves as a lady. Lord, you searched and you found us. Lord, now may we seek you. May we seek everything that is about you, Lord. Lord, help us to live a life, Lord, that is worthy to be called the bride of Christ. I thank you, Lord, for giving me strength, Lord. I know it's chopped up, Lord. It seems to be my way I do it, Lord, and I apologize, Father. I love you with all my heart, Lord. I love you with everything that's in me, Lord. Thank you for calling me bride. In Jesus' name. Brother Harry, could you sing "More I Seek Him"? I urge you to seek him. He wants to be sought. You can't seek anything till you're found first. And if you start seeking, there's a lot to find.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad God's mercy let you hap upon the field of Boaz? Praise be to God. You appreciate the word tonight. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's hard for us to know. No way for us to really tell how many more there are to come in. Brother Barry Coffey leaving Monday for Korea and other parts of the world. Different brothers going here and there and there. We never know when the last one will be brought in. When that last one is brought in and finished, there'll be not one more called. If the church would go on for another 100 years, there'd not be one more that would embrace the fullness of the truth. Let's be ready, friends. Let's be ready. Early this morning, the Lord woke me up, spoke something to me. I can't hardly wait to bring it to you in the morning. I believe we're living in a great hour. And God is preparing His people. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we so thank You tonight, Father. Lord, how we love the story of Rebecca and Ruth. And we see the types and the shadows. It's us written in the pages of the Bible. Though it was in symbol form in the Old Testament, yet we're able to look back through the cross and see the story that You was writing. I pray, Father, that our lives would be just as theirs. That it would be the word written out. They didn't even realize, I'm sure, what they were doing. There's no way that they could have comprehended the fullness of what would come out of their lives. And it wasn't something that they was trying to be. Rebecca didn't study to be Rebecca. Ruth didn't study to be Ruth. She just was Ruth. And the providence of God worked out Your sovereignty out of her little simple life. No doubt she probably wondered, what will ever become of me? What will I ever amount to? But yet out of her, hallelujah, out of her came Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David, the king. Out of there, the lineage continued on down until, Lord Jesus, You come on the earth. Who are we tonight standing here, Lord, that we'd think, what would we ever be? What would ever become out of us? And yet, if we can only imagine in our hearts tonight that one day when we walk down the streets of gold, the mighty angels which have never said one curse word, the angels of God which have never had one evil thought, will bow as we come walking down those streets of gold. Lord Jesus, we love You so much, Father. Help us that we can be this word. For truly, we believe You are once again calling out and completing Your bride. Help us, Father, that we can be ready for that great day. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
Service in the morning, 11 o'clock. Let's come gathering together around the presence of God. Go with this on your heart. Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Oh, Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Tell me who shall be able to stand. Well, Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Jesus getting us ready for that great day. Jesus getting us ready for that great rapture day. Shine.
resurrection will be in motion on that great day. The resurrection will be in motion on that great day. The resurrection will be in motion on that great day. Getting us ready for